Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so we mentioned the Giants there as a potential landing spot there for Keenan Allen. But the Giants have a very interesting offseason. We've talked about this ad nauseum as well. Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, they're both up for contracts. Now, Daniel Jones, he just switched midstream. He just switched his agent, man. He wants more guaranteed money. He wants more average salary as well. Giants like, yeah, go for it. We'll just franchise tag you, pal. Look. Bottom line is Daniel Jones did not have a great statistical season. I would say this, Daniel Jones did make an improvement with Brian Daboll as a quarterback in 2022 versus 2021. Now, where does that leave him in the hierarchy of things? I don't know. I'll leave that up to the professionals, but I would be surprised if this guy averaged, you know, 25 to 28 million per year, which is apparently what he is looking for. So I don't know.
He's looking for way more than that. He wants like,
he wants 30 per
35, dude. And I mean, if they franchise tag him, the franchise tag for quarterbacks is like 32.4 million.
Right.
But I think, but then there was the leak that he actually wants 45, which like, maybe that comes from the team.
Yeah. Like,
so that when they sign him for 38 or 37, they're like, ah, see, we got a deal. But yeah, he definitely wants to get paid for sure.
Right. Which is, again, him switching agents in the middle of all that, is an interesting move. I don't know. Does that reek of desperation? I don't know, man. The bottom line is, it's not like this guy put up great stats at any point. And then again, his game tape is really up and down as well. So I don't know. I'm not sure what can he really stand on, Matt, to say, okay, I need $35 million a year. Like, where does he? I guess how does he go about doing that?
Well, the problem right now is just. That the NFL has no middle class in terms of quarterbacks.
Correct.
Like who are the middle class quarterbacks right now? Like, remember when guys like Andy Dalton and even like Colin Kaepernick got those like middle class quarterback deals? Like who is that right now?
I mean, I'd probably say like Geno Smith, Jared Goff is like the classic middle class quarterback in the NFL right now.
I get that, but I'm talking about like from a contract standpoint,
right?
Like who?
It's all or nothing.
What are these? It really is all or nothing right now. You just look at like the average per year guys. I mean, you talk about like Jared Goff, that he's making like $30 million against the cap this year. And I mean, Geno is another guy who's entering, the last year of his contract. So, he'll be in free agency this year. He's a guy who could get franchise tagged, right now this year. So, and I mean, we saw a guy like Derek Carr, who I think would potentially be a perfectly good candidate for the quarterback middle class. He just got cut, right? Because they didn't want to pay him that. Like right now, Jared Goff, $33.5 million per year,
right,
as a quarterback.
And that's number 10.
And you think that that's like the quarterback middle class. Yeah. And I would agree with you. I mean, Carson Wentz, he's not going to play on this, but he's going to get cut,
right,
or traded or whatever. 32. Per year salary. Ryan Tannehill's like 29.5, and you know, Tannehill's a guy who's sort of, he's like in that middle class, I think, too. Dak Prescott signed a $40 million deal. Matt Stafford, $40 million deal. Kirk Cousins, the consummate middle class quarterback, is like $35 million a year right now. So if Daniel Jones is standing on something, it would be that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, do I think he's proven like what Kirk Cousins has proven, even or Jared Goff? No,
no,
definitely not. But I think based on what he did last year, and then the current quarterback market, that's I think where he had the leg that he's going to stand on. Now, do you think the Giants? Do you think they feel the same way? I doubt it.
I don't know. I will say this: in 16 games last year, this man threw 15 touchdowns. That's interesting to say the least. When you've got 15 touchdowns over 16 games. Now, I will say this: obviously, improved his turnover ratio as well. Just 5 interceptions last year, which would be a career low. I won't add in all his rushing, rushing numbers as well. Obviously, he does some stuff on the ground. He had 7 rushing touchdowns as well. So
great rusher.
Yeah, a good runner, right? Obviously, gets into a little bit of trouble too with the fumbles there. But again, he absolutely shored that up too, right? So just 6 fumbles last year, and I don't even think those were all fumbles lost. But anyways, to your point though, we're talking about no middle ground here, no middle class for quarterbacks. Jared Goff is number 10 at $33.5 million. Ryan Tannehill, 29.5. I'm not going to include Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz because those guys are not going to, play on these contracts. But after that, we're looking at like Marcus Mariota at like 9.5. And then everyone else is on a rookie deal. Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Herbert. So all these dudes are on rookie deals. Otherwise, you're talking, you're correct. You're talking over $30 million a year. So if Daniel Jones is asking for that, I guess that would make a lot of sense. It's just, maybe Daniel Jones creates the middle class, because I tell you what, I can't imagine him getting 30 to 35 million, but I can see him getting, 25 million. I guess that would make some sense in terms of upside. Maybe he wants to sign a short-term deal. I don't know. That would be something.
Yeah, for me, if I'm the Giants, and I think this is where I think this is probably what's going to end up happening, is they're going to franchise tag him and then just like say, like, well, it just makes perfect sense. It does bring up complications for another player that we're going to talk about here, with Saquon Barkley. Like, what do you do with Barkley then? We'll get to that in a second. But for the Daniel Jones thing exclusively, like, why would you not want to just franchise tag him? $32 million, whatever. It is what it is. And see if he takes another jump in the second year playing with Brian Daboll. Now, there's obviously risks to that, because let's just imagine
the Kirk Cousins situation.
Right. Let's just imagine that, or Dak Prescott, right? Because like the Cowboys clearly, for different reasons, didn't want to commit to Dak Prescott at the time. And then he goes out and he has big numbers. He gets hurt. And then they still have to give him the extension, because it's like, well, what are we going to do? Right. What if Daniel Jones goes and, like, just in a hypothetical world, balls the F out, because we know he wasn't surrounded by receiving talent last year.
He had nothing.
Let's say they get, a Jacoby Myers or a Juju, and they draft a guy, and maybe they take a big swing on a Keenan Allen or a DeAndre Hopkins, something like that. Maybe another wide receiver we're not thinking about becomes available on the trade market. Of course, all that stuff gets more complicated when you start having a $32 million quarterback on your salary books, right, and Daniel Jones. But just live in a hypothetical world where he goes out and balls the F out. And then it's like, all right, well, now what do we do? Now do we franchise tag him again? Are we now going to pay him whatever Joe Burrow makes this offseason, plus maybe extra? Are we in that spot with Daniel Jones? It gets a little tricky if you don't extend the quarterback right away when you can. But I don't know. I think that Jones, I don't want to take too much away from him, because I think he took dramatic improvements in his game and made big leaps this past year in a steady environment. We expect that environment to continue. Daboll's back.
Yes.
Mike Kafka didn't get a head coaching job. Right. He's back. Their receiver corps should only get better. Their offensive line, some of the youth on it, like Evan Neal, should get better. But my God, I mean, are you really going to commit this to Daniel Jones? I don't know. If I was the Giants, I would just franchise tag it and see what he does next year. Because then if you just let him walk at the end of next season, if he doesn't show another step of improvement, now you potentially have a really nice spot for a rookie quarterback or, a distressed asset quarterback to come in here afterwards.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. So again, we talk about some of the dominoes that could fall from this, right? So if Daniel Jones does get franchised, and it is kind of sort of looking like they want to go that direction, well, that kind of leaves Saquon Barkley twisting in the wind there. And I think Saquon himself, in this, you know, when the Giants were kind of coming to a close, talked about he'd be okay with a franchise. He'd be okay with a moderate deal. I don't think he's looking to break the bank here to stay with New York. But it's such a savvy move, I think, from the Giants' perspective. And I feel bad because, like, running backs, I think, are overly devalued now. And I know that's, like, even saying even saying that feels like a hot take, right? Unless you're just all the way out on running backs and just literally just say running backs don't matter at all, then you're not part of the cool kids, right? But that's okay. I think it's a savvy move, though, by the Giants because, again, you look at the running back market, Matt, and man, there's a lot of great running backs that are unrestricted free agents. And then on top of that, what I'm hearing about the draft class as well, everything that I'm reading and seeing about the draft class, there's a lot of great running backs in this draft too. So, boy, Saquon Barkley would obviously be the blue chipper of that group. But you look at this group, man, Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, even Jamal Williams, who, again, he was a bane to fantasy managers. But in real life, this dude was a value add for the Detroit Lions. You know what I mean? Tony Pollard in that mix. I thought Deontay Foreman played really good football. There's just a lot of names out there that you know could drive that the overall market price for running backs down because, man, there are a lot of great run supply is much higher than demand right now.
Yeah, and how many, like, wide open depth charts are there where it's like, all right, you drop a guy in there and move heaven and earth to get Saquon Barkley, move heaven and earth to get Josh Jacobs or something like that. That's going to be pretty tough. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, man, like, after the dust settles from free agency – and the draft, because like Bijan Robinson is a consensus, you know, dude in the draft. Right. And there's some other guys that people like as well. It's going to be like when the damn meteor hit the dinosaurs, man. Like things are the entire ecosystem is going to get upset here. You know, things are the running back landscape is going to look wildly different from what we're thinking and imagining with depth charts right now to what it's going to look like in May, man. It is going to be dramatically different. A lot of fallout from that. And Barkley, it's tough because, okay, let's say the Giants, they franchise tag Daniel Jones and, you know, Joe Shane, the general manager did kind of seem like at his year end presser, he was more like warm and fuzzies when talking about Daniel Jones. And, you know, we know that this is like a forward thinking, front office that probably does believe in like, look, we need to build out of the passing game. We know, Joe Shane is like a salary cap guy. He's probably, you know, puckering a little bit when he thinks about giving Saquon Barkley, like, you know, the one of these game changing running back contracts. But damn, dude, like Barkley is the heart and soul of the team. You know, he's a guy that like was so important to the offense. Like, imagine that offense with like Matt Breida instead of Saquon Barkley. Like, I know we think about running back, you know, like you said, running backs don't matter. The production is replaceable. Well, certain guys are definitely above that baseline and are, you know, our game changers. Barkley absolutely is one of those. Think about the game against Washington, the second one, like he was dominant in that game. He was like a transcendent type of player and their offense was just so much better because of that. So it's tough to imagine them just letting him walk. But I mean, if he doesn't get the franchise tag, like if you're Barkley, why wouldn't you then test the market? And then I think, you know, things are mildly interesting. Like with the Bears, we'll always talk about the Bears when it comes to money to burn because they got it, baby. But like you're a run-based offense with Justin Fields. Like why not just break the bank for a guy like Barkley, you know, when you have 90-something million in cap space to make the offense better?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios where he could land. But it's just, to me, like I said, because the market is flooded with high-quality players, I mean, because think about it, like you could get Saquon Barkley, but like, let's say you go, let's say you go down the list here a little bit, right? And you're talking about, okay, well, I could also get Kareem Hunt for like 1/5 the price, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes it tough, right? So the overall market ends up getting pretty depressed. So, and again, too, like there are some really good running backs in this draft class, man. So that's also going to make life interesting too. I mean, actually it kind of dovetails into really like what Aaron Jones did in Green Bay. I bet you anything Aaron Jones looked at the market and said, dude, I got to take what I can get. You know what I mean? And I think Green Bay met him halfway, and that's why he is going to end up coming back to Green Bay in this weird, you know, two running back tandem 50-50 split with AJ Dillon as well. So a lot of interesting movement could happen in the running back space. And of course, if you play fake football, it's the most interesting time when you take a look at all the movement for some of these running backs. What are some of these depth charts going to look like in a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now? And that's going to be a big topic of conversation, no doubt about it.